My fucking green screen hasn't come yet. I'm so fucking mad.
Oh, that's
I
right.
waited
It
all
is
week
not.
and it didn't move. I was so
Fucking
frustrated.
COVID.
Fucking COVID. I think it was, it just arrived over from overseas. I think some, like, I don't like it.
Oh.
Company overseas makes them, like maybe like it.
Oh, fuck. I mean, has that canal area been unblocked by that ship? Maybe it's there. It's in the queue. Don't worry. It'll be here in
No.
like 10 months. So is it COVID free? No, I'm just
Know.
kidding.
Is it zombie free? I don't
Ooh, that's true too.
A lot of people died to bring me my attachable green screen.
Your green screen thing, yeah, all these people.
Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, or movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review Peninsula, or Train to Busan Presents Peninsula. So, as always, I don't know why that made me laugh. It's a long title, unnecessary long title. As always,
Yeah.
John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go into deep spoiler analysis. But,
Marvel's Avengers presents. Teenage
Dawn of
Avengers.
Justice.
Dawn of Justice. The Teen Titans. Marvel's Avengers.
It's just too long. I guess they're trying to
Yeah.
like cash in on the success of Train to Busan. But
Yeah, I wanna yeah, it's just gotta be like another like I feel these other movies are very close to being The Conjuring Presents, like The Nun or whatever.
Oh yeah. But first, we're gonna go over what we've been watching this week.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I checked out the Falcon and the Winter Soldier's series, or is it series or season?
I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna guess it's gonna be series because people really liked it. Yeah, you know.
I've been just in general, it's gotten a mixed reaction. What did you think of this? Do you think they wrapped all their little stories and plot lines up?
I think. I mean, nah, but I mean, a lot of that was on purpose. Obviously, like the final that little twist in the credits sequence. With the power broker, right? And you find out, oh, okay. I thought it was a very satisfying ending. Just the way they wrapped up the things I actually cared about, I was like, oh, okay. I truly enjoyed that. And what they did with oh man, what's his name? Fuck. Isaiah
Bradley.
Brad fuck. I mean, oh God, and what's Wyatt Russell's character's name too?
John
Fuck.
Walker. John Walker.
John Walker, yes. Fuck, we went to college with a John
We did,
Walker, right?
yeah. It's also, yeah. Went to school with the John Walker. Nice guy. All right.
Okay, that whole what he does at the end, because we're not trying to spoil this for people,
Why
right? Oh,
not?
by the time people hear this,
Yeah.
would have had several years to watch it.
Dude, yeah, the new show would have already been out. We would, you know, whatever. We're irrelevant. What we've been watching is
Oh, man.
irrelevant.
Like I was listening to the episode where we talk about WandaVision. I'm like, dude, by the time this comes out, Falcon and the Winter Soldier will be out, so don't worry about it. So this will be like Loki will probably be out by the time.
This episode comes out. Actually, yeah. Pretty
Yeah.
close.
I really liked that part. It made me all choked up. I teared up
So, yeah, so.
when he shows him that part of the Captain America exhibit, you know?
Yeah, that I thought it was a nice moment. It made. I like the way you said that the stuff you like the way the stuff you cared about wrapped up, and I think you're right about that. Like, there were all the storylines I was invested in, I think had a nice little ending to them. I think when we start looking, you know, at the show itself, I think there's a lot more issues with it, you know,
Yeah.
but
Like, unfortunately, in my head, it doesn't actually get really good until these last two episodes.
I'm mixed on it. You know,
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to feel about this one. I mean, it kind of started kind of mixed and blah for me, and I think it kind of just ended mixed and blah for me. I mean, there are a couple of things, like you said, like figuring out who the power broker is and what that means. It's Sharon Carter, and what that actually means going forward.
Oh, so I have a quick question about that.
Okay.
How does Sharon Carter exist if Steve Rogers went back in time, right, and lived his life out with Peggy Carter, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? Isn't that what happened?
Yes, at the end of Endgame, yeah.
So how does this Carter still exist? And does that mean that that kiss that they shared during Civil War was disgusting? Or was it just like, oh, this is how old-timey father and granddaughter or daughter, I don't know.
So it's always been super weird. Sharon Carter's been always super weird since the books. Super weird. Because they had a relationship in the books, you know? And the fact that they brought the character here and they definitely kissed in...
Yes.
In Civil War,
yeah.
Yeah, they don't really explain how they're related. So I guess it's kind of the least egregious thing possible you can think of.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I just chalk it up to, like, that's what white people do, right? I'm not worried about it.
So I had a thought, like, I was like, when that scene first happened, I leaned over and told my fiance, oh yeah, they totally banged. You know, making a joke of it. And then she's like, no, they just kissed. And I was like, nah, I mean, they banged, right? Come on. Yeah. But then I go back and I start thinking about that. I go back to start thinking about, like, every movie Captain America was in and how he behaved and the way he acted. And I'm convinced now that Captain America was a virgin. He didn't have sex in this movie until Peggy Carter at the Endgame.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, I was also thinking, like, maybe he did bang Sharon Carter. Yeah, because, I mean, I was aware that he was a virgin, right? Because, like you're saying, he got frozen, he was still a virgin.
He waited for Peggy.
Arguably, that's why he was such a good guy, and that's why the formula worked on him, because he was a virgin. You know, the formula showed pity on him for being such a loser. I'm just kidding. If you guys don't want to have sex, you don't have to have sex. Losers. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But that's how that works. And obviously somebody like Wyatt Russell, right? Who, I know he's supposed to be John Walker, but you can't unsee it's Wyatt Russell if you know who Wyatt Russell is. And if it's like, you know who his parents are, that guy's banged 100 times before he was born. So that's why he became a bad guy.
John Walker.
But he's still kind of a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, he has a wife and everything. So I'm just like convinced Captain America, he was frozen that whole time. Probably didn't have any sex when he was like a scrawny guy, and then while he was an Avenger, he probably just waited for Peggy, right? Like, I mean, at no point do I feel like, so this whole movie, the whole series, just about Captain America meeting somebody and having sex. That's right.
And Bucky's like the stifler at the beginning, and then he becomes the new Jason Big character.
Yeah,
because this is American Pie, essentially.
I'm convinced that Bucky in the first Captain America movie took those two girls home, and it was like, oh, Steve, take a walk. I got this. And then he just took the two girls and banged them both. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, because why not? I mean, it's Sebastian Stan, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, I was going to say, Daniel Brühl's like, what? That Zemo wrap up, I was a little confused for a second, but then it was like real satisfying to be like, yeah, okay. I mean, he still was showing he was kind of a bad guy, but I like how they really flesh it out. He's not really a bad guy. He's just like, this is my whole family's dead. What do I give a shit? And it's because of you fucks, you know, like,
yeah, definitely a different take. He's straight up bad guy in all the books.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, he gets that. What happens? He like falls into that vat. It's like real Joker-esque style stuff. And that mask he wears all the time gets like permanently like glued to his face.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I forget the origin. Okay. Yeah, I forget it. But yeah.
I like that he got his like unassuming geriatric butler to go and fucking destroy a handful of super soldiers.
Yeah, I was. Weird about that, because I thought it was weird that how like they didn't set up in Civil War, they didn't set up Baron Zemo as like an actual baron or like any money. He was just like this guy looking for revenge, you know. Right. And then they just casually drop like, "Oh, I really am a baron, and I have a plane and a butler and all this shit." And
yeah, he's like, "I'm rich," you know. So yeah, like real as a matter of fact,
a real like a reboot on the character itself, from what.
Yeah.
So
I was reading a little bit about how Bucky's overall arc and how like it involves Zemo's overall arc. And how Zemo grabs that book from Bucky and crosses his own name out.
Mm.
And one take on it was like, oh, well, because he's trying to show Bucky that, like, at this point, he really isn't a threat to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, he doesn't need to make amends with somebody like him. But then somebody else said that it was more of Zemo doing that, like, it's his book also.
Mm-hmm.
Going, like, this is me making amends for what I've done to you.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's where it goes.
Cool.
Because I'd like to see another team up like that, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, setup of people. Like, U.S. Agent is introduced. Maybe Madam Hydra, freaking Power Broker. And I'm thinking, like, okay, so all this stuff is going to probably be a part of, like, the Disney Plus take on it, you know? Sort of streaming TV, yeah. Quote-unquote.
Oh, yeah, because what's his face? Is the, like, Falcon sidekick? I mean, he never wears the wings, right? But he gets the leftover wings.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like a lot of this, this is all probably leading up to, like, because they're going to have one of those, like, TV events, right? Like, on Disney Plus. They're going to do Secret Invasion. Good luck with that.
I know.
So, I don't know if all these characters... So, I'm curious as to whether or not any of these characters are going to, like mix in with the movies at any point, you know? I don't know. The last time they tried that, like, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. ended up not meaning anything. And the Netflix shows, they didn't mean anything, so...
But I will say, aside from... what was the Paramount thing called? Oh, Luke Cage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was, like, it was okay. What would you say that show suffered from?
Bad show running and not breaking up episodes correctly. Like, I felt like the plots were too... I think the problem with all those episodes was, like, they didn't know how to write a whole season. Like, they had to be 13 episodes.
Yes.
Instead of, like, creating a show. And I think it's a missed opportunity, rehashing all of this. Like, Netflix, they have opportunity on Netflix. They can create whatever they want. They can create, like, 4 episodes a season. They can create, like, 20 episodes a season. The episodes can be, like, 10 minutes long or 30 minutes long. They could have actually played with the narrative, and Netflix wouldn't care. They just, all they care about is just the people that subscribe to it. So they can kind of, they could have, like, instead of building a traditional TV show, they could have actually tried to, like, make something appropriate for what they're trying to create. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or I'm wondering if that's, like, just the people that got to show run it, like you were saying. Because I did just hear a recent interview with one of the people that created Netflix, and he's actually like another like Tarantino upbringing style. Not like he started in a video store. He's like a super like video nerd. And then they created this business, and then it turned into like the super beast that he's like, you know, I don't know. Anyway, that's relevant. But what I was going to get at was what I feel might be harder to introduce into the main Marvel Cinematic Universe is... There's not a whole lot of attention given to, like, social issues, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a few key moments, but it's also, like, a different country or whatever. It's never really focused on what's wrong with America.
Mm-hmm.
And what I feel like this show did, Wings and Arm Guy, is the...
One Arm Guy, yeah.
Yeah, is the last two episodes really showcase like what's the problems with America? And I think that's when the show got real good for me. I was like, "Whoa, okay, they're not afraid to do this right now," which is kind of cool.
Yeah, same.
But I don't know how that, like you're saying, I don't know how it's going to be introduced into like the whole universe.
Yeah, I don't know if it means that like I don't know if any of those characters are going to show up. Falcon will, I think. Of course, Falcon will probably show up in some of the bigger movies. But I feel like...
Or Captain America. Oh, man, I gotta say that was an underwhelming reveal. But anyway, what?
Yeah, yeah. like, it's going to be like the books, right? Like, Captain America has his own little universe where there's only Captain America characters, right? And then they're going to, then they'll go off and do the Avengers stuff or whatever that may be. It's probably going to be something like that, I think, where it's self-contained. Because they one thing they did really well in this show, and I mentioned it previously, was that they dug up a lot of the mythology. Like, not mythology, but I guess the previous history of Captain American comics. You know what I mean? Bringing up, like, Isaiah Bradley, bringing up John Walker, bringing these characters that had been in the books, that appeared in the books, you know, for the show. So it kind of feels like this is the Captain America universe where it kind of, all these characters will kind of reside. More or less.
That'd be pretty cool. Because I don't know. Yeah, like, you're right. It's not really a show that, it feels very Captain America the more I think about it. You're right. And I'm assuming Loki's probably going to be easier to introduce into, like, the main universe because it looks real, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like something Taika Waititi would do, you know? Very, like, fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's easygoing. That's what it feels like it's going to be.
Which, I mean, yeah, that character is kind of, he's a good bad guy, I guess. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, definitely. What was the other thing that you said you watched? We're talking a lot in this intro, but we got to talk about Mortal Kombat, man.
Mortal Kombat. It was okay.
I'm of two minds about, like, if this movie came out and I was, like, comfortable going to a movie theater right now, yeah, I'd probably go watch it in a movie theater without knowing, you know, and I probably wouldn't be disappointed with it either.
Yeah.
Like, when I went to go watch the Power Rangers movie, even though I'm not, like, a huge fan of Power Rangers, I still thought it was fun in theaters.
Same, yeah.
There's no tournament. Sorry. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it
By this point, it'll be often, like, you can rent it or whatever. The movie's a prequel. I think it's a prequel to a lot. It sets up a lot, right? Because we haven't even met Johnny Cage. They kind of hint at him at the end, and he's one of the original castmates. So
yeah.
So that's why.
We also get that guy's like a brand new character, Cole.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
This is the best Mortal Kombat movie, but I don't know if that's saying a lot.
I know. Yeah, I was actually gonna mention something like that too. They definitely played into people's nostalgia of a shit ton of things.
Yeah.
Like, I caught myself going like, yeah, he did it, you know?
Yeah, same.
Like, several times. But then they got real into, like, I don't know. It's like they got the first two movies that neither of them were very good.
Yeah.
And then they just like were like, oh, okay, what's really wrong with both these movies? But let's try to keep some of the campiness.
Yeah.
I'm glad they fixed the whitewashing problem.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Yeah. No. My fiance, she's like a diehard Mortal Kombat fan. She grew up playing it. So she was just like cheering and screaming about all the deaths and all the characters showing up. Yeah. I'm like,
because they do them all. It's so cool.
Yeah. I'm just like sitting there just like, I like the series and I know some of it. I don't have like an overall love for the game or anything, but she does. And I was just like sitting there thinking like, simmer down, you know, they got neighbors. Stuff like that.
I was a huge fan of the games. I still play them every once in a while. Or, like, I'll watch, like, the YouTube cutscenes just to watch the cutscenes so I don't have to play the game. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed the Kano guy.
Yeah.
The actor that played Kano was really fun.
He was really good. Now I get...
You know, the Scorpion Sub-Zero fight was fucking badass.
Yeah. So that first scene, I feel like they're milking it. They milked, like, all the footage they shot is there. Because that opening scene is just like...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
There's no cuts. There's just like... Just really, really like slow. Kind of just things lingering too long. Shots linger too long. It just felt like, you know, we have this really... We have this really great setup. We have you know, this battle. We're going to just play it out for as long as we can. And that opening scene just like...
Oh, man.
You know what
they're probably truly milking? Is what's his face, the actor that plays Scorpion?
Yeah.
he's 58, so it's just to showcase how badass he is at 58.
Yeah, he's like a real like sword master, right? Like he's like a legit guy who does all this. He did, I think he did all the stunts for this movie. Like he's,
I think, yeah, actually I looked it up and pretty much everyone in this movie was in some way involved in stunts.
Wow.
The guy that played Kung Lao is actually like a master at several martial arts, but then he taught himself how to do something while doing the choreography so he could get more into like how Kung Lao does fighting.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that played Sub-Zero, which is the guy that plays what's his face in one of Thor's friends. It's one of them. I'm gonna get it wrong. I don't know. I don't remember.
Me too.
I mean, everybody's wearing masks in this fucking movie for the most part. So
yeah.
Apparently, he was like so fast when they're doing the shots.
Mm-hmm.
The director had to tell him to slow down.
Oh.
Like everybody took this so serious, you know?
Yeah.
And then after reading all that about all these guys taking it super serious, like the dude that plays I'm gonna forget his fucking name, the general with the big hammer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who you like see pop out of movies all the time. Like he's a stunt guy. Like they're all fucking involved somehow.
I remember him.
He
popped up in, I think, like Sherlock Holmes movies and like freaking.
Yeah, he's always the big dude, right?
Yeah.
He's just like
Jet Li movie.
Massive guy.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And I'm reading all this. And I'm like, dude, that's super interesting. Because I will say, like, a lot of the takeaway, I think the main reason this movie works as super entertaining is like the fights are a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they don't shy away from what these abilities are supposed to be. In fact, they give it like a quick explanation and then it's just like, just get into it now. Mm. The guy that plays, God, he's such a famous actor too. The guy that plays the Scorpion.
Uh-huh.
He said that his prep for the movie was just playing all the video games, like, just playing them all like a ton. And he said, like, you know, I was always losing. I was getting my ass kicked, but it was so much fun. Like, now I have, like, a proper idea of who Scorpion is. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. It's just imagining this, like, 57, 58-year-old guy playing video games all day.
It's, yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely, like, a fan service movie. And it is what it is. I mean, I think nobody has any misconceptions about what they're watching or getting into. So, on that front, I think they did a good job.
Which, it even has that like Power Rangers feel, like the Power Rangers movie feel.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. I mean, it's just very graphic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the Black Ranger is the main guy, the Cole guy.
Oh.
From the Power Rangers movie.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
And then I didn't fucking recognize Jimmy Olsen at all. I had to look him up because I was like, this guy looks familiar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's Jax. Jax,
he got fucking huge.
Yeah.
He was already a big dude in Supergirl, but he got fucking huge.
Yeah, he did. Nah, yeah. Oh, the girl from Sonya Blade is from The Loved Ones.
Oh, really?
She's the one that loses the boyfriend in the beginning. And she.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And she's in fucking Chips, right? The Chips remake.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, she's like the hot blonde girl that like kind of changes her mind at the end about being a bad guy. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I was going to say she was kind of, not that there was her acting when she gets introduced to me was like real weak compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
And then she got fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, everybody's like putting like 110% into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you got the Kano dude. It was just super fucking funny.
I think it makes sense once they put Kano there and then not Johnny Cage. It's like a trade-off, right? Because Johnny Cage is going to be the sort of that same type of character. So didn't really miss him. I think I think this movie's going to be successful. They'll probably make a sequel down the line. So we'll see what that is.
Yeah, I mean, if they haven't like already started, right?
True, yeah.
Because I'm wondering. They introduced a couple of artifacts in the movie. Like, unless you know,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to recognize them. Like, you see Katana's, like, fan at one point
mm-hmm.
when they enter the temple. And when they keep walking around the temple, that amulet that Kano, like, tries to steal is a Shinnok's amulet. So they can very well raise all these people from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say it was very easy to kill Goro, but whatever.
Goro didn't have the, what is it, like mid-boss fight to him, I guess. So.
Yeah, no, he kind of got his ass kicked. I do appreciate they do highlight a couple of the things you can exploit in the game. Like, who is it? When Kano is fighting Liu Kang in that pit to learn his, I forgot what they call it. His like power, Liu Kang keeps, not Liu Kang, was it Kung Lao? Who did he fight? It doesn't matter. One of them like keeps a low kick swiping his feet.
Oh yeah, 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 that's true.
And that's like something you could do in the game too, right?
Yeah, yeah, that was funny.
And then like his daughter, the main guy's, Cole's daughter, kept telling him like, you got to do the uppercut thing. And it's like something in the game. Like if you finally learn how to do like a certain thing, you usually win.
Is that like,
it was just very funny.
Yeah, no, they had a, yeah, it was really smart about references like that. References to the history of the game, history to the fighters, histories to like, just in general, like the movesets, like you mentioned and stuff like that. So overall, they did a good job. Good job.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And we can talk about it later, but I started watching the new Mighty Duck series.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyways.
That's our show.
Good night.
Good night, everybody, and good luck.
No, that's not the end of the show.
Just kidding. Yeah. you probably already clicked off. Nobody's listening anymore.
Nobody's listening. But yeah, before we get into our review, we're going to take a little moment, and I want to show you. So, if you've been following the show, you know that I've collected all of these tapes, right? I caught at a show, at a, not a show, but a, like a yard sale. And one of them was... So
like a garage sale, right? Or yard sale,
yeah. Yeah, I've remastered them. So what I found, and what I transferred over, what I think is a slamming song from Jimmy Gooseneck.
Oh.
Let's check it out.
Oh, okay.
Summer's dry, winter's die. Abiding bleak gives out its war cry. Honk, honk. The trucker's journey, a trucker's war path. A baseball cap, sweaty back. Tired eyes on the journey's back. Honk, honk. Scream. Like the legend goose. Honk, honk. Gotta scream like the goose. You're never alone with your CB radio. Your friend is always here. Honk, honk. On your CB radio. Gooseneck warrior. Gooseneck is your friend. Honk, honk, till the end. Scream it with me, guys. The Gooseneck warrior cry. You know it all by heart. Honk, honk, Jimmy G. Yeah, baby.
Paid for by Jimmy G's CB radios. Pick yours up today.
What the this is the same guy that did the bottle blowing thing, right?
Yeah, it's been great.
What is this guy's deal? I think I might be obsessed. I mean, how much of this do you have?
Tons. Hours.
Is there more stuff like this?
Hours of this. Just feats and feats and rolls of stuff I gotta go through, but yeah.
Oh my god. And then that little tag at the end where it's like paid for by the CB radios, I guess, that he sells. What, where the hell did this air? Oh man, I have so many questions.
Yeah, and the more, you know, he has his little hand in everything. He's like the invisible hand. He's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Fun, really, really awesome, fun stuff.
Interesting. Is this guy still alive? Have we talked about this?
Yeah, I don't know. We checked online, we couldn't find anything. One way or the other. So it's...
God, now I just have so many questions.
Not enough answers. But so many questions.
Not enough answers at all. No. Interesting. Okay.
Great. And John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. Oh, yeah. For Train to Busan presents Peninsula.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 5, I have Decomposing Takes a Long Time.
Yeah.
These are some very sprightly zombies after 4 years.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah.
And coming in at number 4, I have Overselling United States Dollar. I was like, what the fuck are they going to do with this shit ton of money of, like, U.S. dollars, which, I don't know, where are we at right now?
What do you mean? We're COVID time. I have no idea.
No. I mean, U.S. dollar, when it exchanges to other places, I mean, it might be, because at the beginning of the movie, they're in Japan, right? No, wait, they're in China?
They're in Korea.
Well, they go to South Korea, but they start off in... Oops, I fucked this up. Oh, they might be in Hong Kong, actually. I might be making that
No,
up.
They...
We definitely saw this movie.
Didn't sound like it, but yeah. We have to promise you, we definitely saw this movie. A zombie virus has in for the last 4 years spread all over South Korea. And then they try to escape... And then Hong Kong is a safe haven.
Yeah. So okay. So then they go back to Korea, right?
Right.
But we'll talk about that, right? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Overselling the United States dollars. I think like people were like, "Yeah, there's so much U.S. money in the back of this thing." Coming in at number 3, I have Dead People Hate Bright Lights. I do too. Yeah. I might be dead.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know.
I'm a night person. All right.
Me too. Coming in at number 2, I have Fast and Furious Korea Drift.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1, I have Everybody Really Wants That Load.
Everybody Wants That Load. Excellent. I forgot to mention that on Mortal Kombat, that the DC characters are a part of the Mortal Kombat like line of characters.
Oh yeah.
So technically we could get a Mortal Kombat versus Zack Snyder Justice League. Just throwing it out there. Anyways, John, just going to send it on out there. We'll see if it happens. John, do you want to give us your
Zack Snyder? Yeah. Give us a 4-hour epic Mortal Kombat versus Justice League,
please. Okay. Okay, John, do you want to give us our first thoughts? Give your first thoughts for this. Train to Busan presents Peninsula.
And Train to Busan presents Peninsula. It was okay. it was fun. You know, we talked about this a little before we started doing recording, but it definitely has a very... This famous movie presents this movie feel to it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, you get that in a lot of different movies. That's why I did Fast and the Furious, Korea Drift, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mostly because there's a shit ton of car acrobatics and drifting in this thing.
Yeah.
Like, specifically towards the end, I could have done without all that drama. For me, all it was missing was, like, a miracle baby to pop out.
Yeah.
That everybody dies for. You
like
know?
A zombie baby.
Yeah, something.
Something had to pop out, yeah.
Had a very... want to be Lord of the Rings 5 endings when it's like, ah, no, I get it. Come on. But, you know, it also played out like it was a telenovela at the end, too. So maybe people are into that. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I almost had the exact same thought. It's okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, it's okay. No, I was just going to say, like, it's okay. Like, whenever it was action-y, I was like, oh, this is fun. But because it's mindless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things don't make any sense, but a lot of things also feel like it's just whoever made this movie was like seriously pulling from like fucking Land of the Dead or like mostly all the Dead movies, and then like 28 Days Later 2, and then There's this movie called, oh, The Girl with All the Gifts. Have you seen that one?
Mm-mm. No, I never heard of it.
So it kind of had the same feel, except The Girl with All the Gifts, like it centers around a bunch of these children are being taught in this like private facility, military base. And the rest of the world is overrun with zombies already, you know, kind of like the way Korea looked or South Korea looked in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that these kids are all infected, but they're all coherent, or like they're there. So the girl with all the gifts is like the one that survives.
Mm.
And even having some sort of spin like that going on would have made this movie a little more interesting. Because otherwise, I didn't really care about any of these characters.
Yeah, it feels like, so a couple things. Like, I've never seen Train to Busan, so I have no like reference of the movie. I imagine, and just speculation, Train to Busan was like a runaway hit, pun intended, and they decided very quickly to want to make a sequel to something. So they're like, more money, bigger budget, more action. Let's just do everything twice as big. And I get the impression, and maybe, you know, you can fill me in on this, but Train to Busan is like this small contained movie that, you know, all these, you know, smaller casts, extraordinary things are happening in it.
Yeah, pretty much. You're right. Yeah. For the gist of the movie. Yeah. There is a ton of scenes outside of the train.
Mm.
I will say, cause I was going to rewatch it, but I'm thinking about maybe we should just watch it for the thing. Cause I clearly don't remember a lot of it. Cinematically, it's way superior, you know, like, not everything's like spelled out for you, like in this movie, right? There's no guessing about what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This one is more of like you're in the moment. Like I told you, it kind of feels like Snowpiercer, but with, you know, zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I imagine this.
A lot more human interaction that matters. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I think this movie feels like, because I have no reference of watching the first movie, that this movie has, like, sequelitis. It's, like, basically the same plot, but just bigger, right? Bigger, louder, exploding things happen, and things are less effective because they've already kind of done all of the cool things they did in the first movie. It's just sort of retreaded a bit. And I was going to ask, is there any of these characters show up in the first one?
No. A very good reason too. That's why I said they're in the same universe, but they're not really connected.
Oh, okay. So we may see the survivors roll up in the third one then, possibly, with the first one.
I would also say probably not. I think we should just make it the next movie to watch. It's a much sadder movie than this one is. Let's put it that way.
Oh, perfect. I love sad movies.
The way people react, and there's no guns, you know, there's no weapons that they can really use. It's just people trying to survive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what kind of cheapened it for me in this one. I was like, man, everybody's got a fucking gun in this movie.
So I checked and it's like it's the same director. It's the same writer. It's the same team basically. But, I guess, you know,
they just waited 4 years to make it, you know.
Did he? When did the other one came out? What, 2016 or something?
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure it came out 2016.
Mm, interesting.
Let me see. I can actually check that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then the animated movie came out shortly before that, I think.
Yeah, you're telling me about that too. I'll check it out.
Oh, and the same guy did Hashtag Alive? No, you didn't. I'm a liar. Nothing, what?
Yeah, no, I mean, I have the same reaction. It's just a big, you know, action movie, empty action movie, spectacle kind of thing, you know? You have the main lead kind of void of emotion with long flowing hair, just going down.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
quiet, you know, killer type of a guy, and then, you know.
He's a sensitive badass. Yeah. Right?
So what I gotta ask, like, why is there like American people in this? Why did they speak English so much in it? Is that something they did in Train to Busan as well? Or
no, I don't remember that happening. I want to say just to make it obvious who the bad guys were, right? Because he purposely picked all these like Korean people because it looked like they were segregating all the Korean people because they might have been infected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, such a hot take on, like, the way Trump was trying to, you know, fucking describe this virus, it's always the China virus, the China virus. I'm like, okay.
Got
we
it.
Live on the same fucking earth. You can't just say it's like from one place.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that said, then we're the fucking America's the STD virus, right? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
yeah.
But yeah, they definitely had that sort of like, there was like some social commentary going on, and then it just like went out the door because they go to Korea, you know?
Yeah. I had the sense that that's what was going on. The host did something similar where it was the American facility that actually put all that poison or gunk or whatever in the sink. Of the thing.
You know, also in Cooties. Wait, Cooties? Yeah, Cooties.
That's true. Yeah.
Not Cooties. The other one.
Cooties?
Little Monsters.
Little Monsters. There you go. Yeah.
It's just any word that associates with kids. We're like, right? That's the name of the movie? Was it Kindergarten Cop? Was that the horror movie we watched? Yeah. But overall, like, I think I'm going to take your description of some movies. It's very much like a popcorn flick.
Mm, yeah.
I wouldn't look too hard into it. You know, it's, because any questions you had when you told me before, because we like to be real cryptic in our text messaging before we do these things. Like, I have questions, so hopefully you can just explain it with Train to Busan. I'm like, nah, I probably have the same questions.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's a lot of explanation.
Okay, yeah. I honestly thought this was a sequel, but I have a feeling this is just like a set in the universe of Train to Busan. You know, like it's not,
yeah,
it's not.
I think so. Yeah.
Which I mean, I'm trying to think. I think the movie works in some action scenes, some of the more set pieces that they do. The zombie stuff. I'm like, I don't know if you are or not, but I'm a little burned out on zombies. But just because most of the time there's very little they original or different they try to add to it, and if they do, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, and again, this movie's just taking it from everything. Like, mm-hmm. You know, you get the running 28 days later zombies. I mean, it's just everywhere. It just felt like this guy was trying to put all his favorite zombie movies into one movie.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I more or less liked it, but I was never really like scared anything was going to happen to these characters.
That oh, absolutely not.
So,
I mean, even the moments where you're supposed to build tension, I feel like it's ruined by, oh, okay, he's going to shine a light into this window. I wonder what's going to happen, you know, but.
Mm-hmm. So is it Train to Busan like, Alien, and this is Aliens, though I'm assuming the Aliens is really good though. But
let's say this is Train to Busan is Alien, and this is like Alien Resurrection.
Alien versus Predator.
Alien versus Predator. Actually, no, that's a better one. Yeah. Because I did like Alien Resurrection, even though a bunch of people hated it.
I liked it too. It's a goofy movie, but it was fine. It worked.
And I know we glossed over Aliens 3, but that's because that movie's it's just so weird. Like even if you if you like went back and rebranded it like not an Aliens movie, it'd be like, this is still an interesting sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. Is it an alien movie? I don't know, sort of.
Well, you know the history of that, right? Like it wasn't an alien script at some point. What?
Yeah, you're telling me, right? It was Fincher, right?
Fincher, yeah. He just like disowns the movie. He doesn't talk about it because... He couldn't do the movie he wanted. The script was massively rewritten. The whole movie was just like, I think all the ships were supposed to be made of wood at some point. I don't know. I mean, it's just weird. I have fragments of details I've read about that movie.
Wood?
Yeah. It's
what?
Okay. Let's.
Of all the things that don't make any sense.
Yeah, I know. It was just a crazy movie, crazy science fiction movie that got a lot of attention from Hollywood and stuff like that. That they ended up just stuffing in the Alien franchise with. So,
and you heard why Sigourney Weaver decided to do it, right?
No,
I mean it was on the caveat that her character gets killed off at the end.
Yeah,
and only because Alien versus Predator was in the works. And she thought, like, I do not want to be a part of that. So she did this movie to kill herself off so she wouldn't be subjugated to, like, very smart decision, that crap.
Yeah.
Even though not that it was, like, a great movie, but the sequel was pretty fun. Requiem, I want to say is what it's called. I don't remember.
Yeah. All right.
Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Yeah, Train to Busan presents Peninsula. So let's go into
Train to Busan presents the Aliens Peninsula.
Aliens Peninsula Requiem.
Predator.
Okay, so let's go, John. Let's go into deep spoilers.
Wait! No! Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Okay.
The grandfather dies.
All the people you kind of care about live.
Yeah. This movie.
They have several opportunities to die, but they all live.
So, oh my God, you mentioned the ending. I think this is where I want to spend the most time just talking about it because I thought it was so dumb.
It dragged on for what felt like an hour.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, just end.
Yeah. So they escape. They're trying to get to the freaking boat, right? To get to whatever, to leave Korea. So they get to the port and the grandfather dies. I was confused about the captain ends up taking the vehicle to the boat and getting murdered by the people who were offering him the work to begin with, our main character. And the one scene that didn't make any sense to me, I maybe wasn't paying attention enough, was so the zombies are like attacking them. The mother gets shot in the leg, so she's like limping along, and she decides to sacrifice herself. So her two daughters, really cute, adorable daughters, resourceful daughters, are able to, were probably my favorite part of the movie also. So they can get rescued because they see a helicopter in the air or whatever. They use fireworks or whatever to bring it down. And the mother decides, like, oh, okay, go and save my kids to our main character. And I'm thinking to myself, like this guy in the beginning of the movie left them in the beginning and he should be the one that sacrifices himself, right? Like he should be the one that's like, I'm gonna finally save this family I should have saved like 2 hours previously or whatever in the beginning of this movie, and it's all gonna tie up neatly, but it doesn't happen, right? So she's like leading him away. He goes, they have a very long, dragged out crying scene.
Oh my
god. Which
dude. Because in the grand scheme of things, for her to not have shot herself already, that dragged out portion should have, I guess, was like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like these 25 minutes of extra stuff.
Yeah. And then it turns into a straight up K-drama.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It had a very novella feel at the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was hoping that it was going to have like a real dark wrap up, like, oh, no, they're all fucked now or something. But no, they just
fly away.
Some sort of flying away into the sunset thing. Or, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get like Jane, right? Officer Jane or Captain Jane, whatever she's supposed to be, is real. That doesn't make any sense because the grandfather, who's supposed to be like a little off his rocker, keeps trying to use his CB radio, but it's not on, like, whenever he's talking to Jane.
It's true.
So, I mean, it's probably just coincidence, but also, how would they know to land there?
Why are they there?
Why are they there? Like, it's not like they saw explosions from far away. It's, like, broad daylight.
Yeah, and it's a coincidence. I mean, Jane's a pretty generic name. That's the only thing I chalk it up to. He could have, yeah. It could have just been like one of those like movie coincidences where it's like supposed to mean more than what it's supposed to mean. Does that make,
yeah,
that kind of make sense?
That's what I was gathering too.
And the other,
you know, this,
no, go ahead.
I was going to say this movie would have been a lot more interesting if they all got caught, had to do that game, and it was like a Running Man meets zombies thing, you know?
Oh, that would have been interesting. Yeah.
That's what I thought it was going to be. And I was like, dude, this is going to be fucking fun. And then no.
No, it wasn't that. It was like a small portion of that. I will give props for the sort of pyramid zombie situation they got there. That looked cool.
Oh, yeah.
When they were, I don't know, for entertainment, they were feeding the whatever people to them. But yeah, the most frustrating thing for me was that, like, so the guy decides super last minute, oh, maybe you should live. And then he starts like picking them off, and then he tries to go and he saves her. So she ends up like running and going with her daughters. And I was like, okay, cool. This guy's going to die. And all of a sudden he just runs and he grabs one of those kids and he goes to the helicopter too. I'm like, oh my God, why is this guy alive? Yeah. Like, I thought this was like a redemption story. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he was selfish in the beginning of the movie and he ended up losing his family because of it, right? You could quote unquote say. And then, like, now this is his opportunity to redeem himself and to, like, you know, have some sort of, like, resolution or something.
Which I had a problem with, because the only person that would think they need any sort of redemption would be him.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had taken that family with him, they would have died.
True. Good point. Yeah.
You know, because that happens right away. But, like, because classic movies got a movie. You see this in, like, every fucking movie now. They fail to mention, like, these key little, like, important parts in between are just like, no, woe is me. Which is, like, for the most part, not how human people are.
<You know>? Yeah. Yeah.
There are a lot of, like, no, actually this, right? And, like, okay, sure.
This is my first, like, Train to Busan Presents movie, so I'm a little underwhelmed. I don't know.
I know, yeah. I'm actually very underwhelmed. It was fine, but like I said, it's got a very... like Masters of Horror type of deal thing going on. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. I know what you mean.
It feels like a larger anthology series of just like a bunch of stories. So like this is one of them.
I'm totally okay with movies having like a thin plot, but I mean, if you have interesting characters, twists, and if you have like great action, unique action, I mean, I can let some of that go, but I didn't, There wasn't enough good things in this movie to keep me invested in it.
Completely. I agree. It was very video game movie-ish.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, speaking of video game movie-ish, I'm going to go off topic again. I was unaware they've been secretly making a Borderlands movie, and I'm fucking stoked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, isn't Cate Blanchett and Jack Black in it or something?
Oh, my God. So many people. Yeah, Kevin Hart, which is great because, like I said, I love those fucking games, and I finally started playing the third one, which just came out in 2019, I think.
Right.
And all these like reoccurring voices come back, like Penn and Teller are like one of the main bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all I got because I don't remember anything else. But they're all very good voice actors.
Did you play Tales of Borderland? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't.
That was on.
I think it's a DLC thing now, so I can probably just download it later.
Yeah, it's for sale on the eShop, so I was like, maybe I should buy this instead of Borderlands. I don't know. I'm weird. I always like to get the supplemental stories first before the main games.
Actually, you're right. I think Tales of Borderlands is just all like the DLC content, which...
Oh.
So, I mean, I don't think you have to have the game. You can just do those. But those look like a lot of fun. Because that's what we're going to talk about now, because Train to Busan Presents Peninsula was okay.
Was okay. All right. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. All right. I gotta also say, to me, this gave me a little bit of like a nostalgic feel for going to like a video rental store and just picking up some random crap just to like go home and like eat popcorn and watch something shitty, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't horrible. But I think I'm still going to have to give it 3.5 sexy spooky bones.
Interesting. So, yeah, I'm going to do the same with the caveat. I'm going to give it 3 sexy spooky bones with the caveat that if I were Train to Busan, I'm reserving the right to bump my rating up. So if I like Train to Busan, I'll be like, yeah, I'm like hardcore into Train to Busan for some reason. I'm gonna like the rating for Pinnacle is gonna go up. So, and if I like that little short animated movie he did too, it's all flexible.
I told you before we started, I watched like the first 20 minutes, and even that one's like way better with like relationships. It's about the people, and that, like, yeah, whatever this movie was, you know.
Yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
Great. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.